Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levernier, bringing you an hour of drama. Later on, Will Rogers Jr. appears in Rogers of the Gazette, but right now a classic story from the Damon Runyon Theater. A syndicated broadcast next from April 3rd, 1949, his story called The Big Umbrella.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, The Big Umbrella. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Now, the Club 23 is a high-class trap which is patronized by the better-heeled element of citizens in New York. So what I am doing there one day goes back to when I am standing in front of Mindy's and I see Spider McCoy sneaking along the street. Now, Spider does not usually sneak. He walks like he owns the world, which he does not. So I watch him for a minute, then I catch up with him.
Oh, my goodness, Broadway. Do not sneak up on me like this.
Well, it seems to me you are the one who is sneaking. What is the idea of acting like an Indian spy?
I am trailing somebody.
Oh? Whom?
The big guy with the cutaway coat and striped trousers.
What is he advertising?
Advertising?
Unless he is out of his ever-loving mind, nobody wears a rig like that in broad daylight.
Listen, I just see him put the chill to a cab jockey down the street with one punch.
I see. Well, that explains why you are sneaking up on him.
No, it does not.
Like I say, it does not. Goodbye. I will leave you with your gaze. Drop in Mindy sometime. We will have a fast game of hide-and-go-seek.
Listen, Broadway, come along with me.
You want I should sneak with you? Why?
To meet the next heavyweight champion of the world.
With that, Spider grabs my arm, and we sneak down the street, following the big guy in the wedding outfit. But now I know why Spider is doing it. Anytime he sees a male human being who weighs an ounce over 175... and he's just a shade taller than a short midget, he has got himself the next heavyweight champ of the world. But someday he might turn up a winner. So I go along with it. And the story of the guy we follow is quite a one indeed. And I will tell it to you in a minute. Like I say, we follow the big guy, who I can see is maybe just over 21, with shoulders like a battleship. In fact, he does look like a heavyweight. Then he turns into the Club 23, and Spider says to me...
He's got to stop this.
Stop what?
Go into nightclubs in the daytime. Come on, we will talk to him.
Spider, does it ever occur to you that maybe he does not want to be the champion?
What? Where is his ambition? Everybody wants to be heavyweight champion.
Not my mother.
You're a wet blanket. Say, there's Sammy.
The doorman? Look, Spider, he is only a middleweight at best.
We will ask him about the big guy. Come on. Well, well, Sammy boy.
If you are here to put the bite on the management of this club for a free squeeze, go away.
Please, Sammy, I am here for information.
Sure. Anything free you are here for. What do you want?
Who is the big guy in the split coat and the fancy pants?
Him? Just one of them ex-kings.
What?
Yeah. Some dictator puts the finger on this guy's country, and this guy fades and comes over here.
Well, well. He is really a king.
I tell you, he does not work at it. Look, Spider, he does not have a dime, and the chances are he just steps in and pitch a free meal.
We are going in to talk to him.
Spider, do not cadge in there, because I will get the bounce for letting you in.
Do not worry. I wish to buy this ex-king a sandwich. Come on, Broadway.
I follow Spider inside. We spot the big guy sitting alone at a table. He is not a bad-looking citizen at all. In fact, he is the kind of a guy a doll would go for. Spider takes him by the arm, and we go to the ex-king's table, where the scene is as follows.
Well, 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 Your Majesty. Fancy finding you here, of all places.
Good afternoon. I know you, yes?
Not yet. My name is McCoy, Spider McCoy, and this is my friend Broadway. Sit down, Broadway.
Yes, please do. Sit down, yes.
Look, Your Majesty.
My name is Jonas. I'm no longer anybody's majesty.
Okay, Jonas. I will get right to the point.
I am hungry.
There it comes, Spider.
How hungry?
I ate yesterday. Yesterday morning.
Nothing since?
No.
Leave us go, Spider.
Wait a minute. I tell you what, Jonas, you listen to me for a minute, and I will take you home with me for a good home-cooked meal. How about it?
We'll talk on the way, yes?
Spider, this guy is not only hungry, he is ready to eat hay if necessary.
Jonas, sit down.
Where do you live, yes?
Not far.
It will not take us long to get there, yes?
I wish he would give us a chance to answer the questions.
It will take us 5 minutes in a cab. And speaking of cabs, I see you put out that cab jockey a while back. That is a nice right you have got.
Right? Jockey?
Put out? I will start over. You hit the cab driver.
Oh, that, yes.
He is a big guy, but you put him out like a light.
I am sorry.
It's okay. Now, what does he do to vex you?
Oh, nothing.
You hit him for nothing? Jonas, that is no way to get along with people.
You do not understand, yes?
Yes. No.
He runs from his cab. He is going to bump into me, so I hold out my hand. So, he runs into it. So he falls.
Yes.
You mean he knocks himself out?
I am sorry, yes.
Spider, you are now looking at the guy who holds the heavyweight championship for the shortest time in history.
Leave us go.
Yes, leave us go for the home-cooked meal.
Wait. Jonas, look, you're broke, yes?
Now you are doing it.
Jonas, is that right? You do not have any scratch money?
That is right. And I find this somewhat necessary.
Then tell you what, we will talk in the cab. And I think I have a proposition that will interest you.
Well, the ride in the cab ends with Spider talking ex-King Jonas into prize fighting. He tells Jonas there are millions waiting for him. And this pleases Jonas, because he says that now he will be able to snap his fingers at this dictator, whose name turns out to be Kolpakis. Then we get to where Spider lives. His niece, Margie, keeps house for him. And she is a Judy of maybe 20, and a little more than somewhat all right. We get to the flat, and Margie opens the door. And the first thing she says is...
Good grief, another big umbrella.
Margie, please, this is different. This is the next heavyweight champion of the world. Jonas, this is Margie. Margie, this is Jonas.
I am enchanted, Margie. I kiss your hand.
I never hear of a guy who kisses hands being heavy champ.
Such delightful perfume you are wearing.
I was peeling onions. Okay, come in. There's enough for all of you.
This guy is the real stuff, Margie.
He's a bum like all the rest.
Shh, he will hear you.
All right, Uncle Spider. Supper's almost ready, fellas. Will you stay, Broadway?
Well,
okay, I'll put a plate on for you.
Excuse me, yes?
What?
I wish to wash my hands. Yes, please.
Sure. Come on. I will show you.
You will excuse me, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
I love the smell in here. It's like food.
Oh, where did Uncle Spider get this one?
He stalks him down Broadway.
Oh, this is a fourth world beater in 3 months. Now he picks up one with an accent.
But this one is an ex-king.
Ex-king, ex-waiter, ex-anything. He's out of work.
No, this one is on the level.
I believe you. Nothing surprises me. Well, the next king won't be any bigger an umbrella than the others.
What do you mean by big umbrella?
They all fold up.
Oh. Margie, it seems to me that you have more than a few chances to get out of this. You are a very good-looking doll, and there are quite a number of citizens who think so.
Including you?
Definitely count me in.
Proposing, Broadway?
I do not think you would like my little hotel room.
Broadway, if I ever found the right guy... It could be a tent in Central Park. If only...
If only what?
Uncle Spider.
He holds up the whole thing?
Always chasing the end of the rainbow. Always looking for the next champion of the world.
Yeah, like a big kid.
Sure. You know, I'd be out of this place only 10 minutes, and he'd have half the characters in town sponging off him. He'd have this flat crammed with heavyweight prospects eating him out of house and home.
Sooner or later, you have got to think of yourself.
I guess so, sooner or later.
Who knows? Maybe this Jonas is the answer.
Him? Oh, 10 to 1, he's like all the others.
Why do you say that?
You say he's an ex-king.
That is correct.
Why is he an ex-king?
Well, it seems that a dictator named Potiphar puts the finger on Jonas's country. And Jonas takes the win.
Beat it out, huh?
I guess so.
Then he comes over here and does exactly nothing. Walks around in fancy clothes.
Those are the only ones he has got. It seems he is locked out of his hotel room because of lack of scratch.
But he didn't try to get a job.
Well, not from what I hear.
He lets the dictator take away his country. He comes over here and lies down.
That seems to be it.
See what I mean, Broadway? Just another big umbrella.
Well, Spider starts to train Jonas. Then it comes up a month later, and Spider puts Jonas in the ring. Jonas wins. Not because he's a world beater, but because Spider picks the opponent with ever-loving care. This happens again and again. And what is more, the crowds go to see Jonas because they like the idea of watching an ex-king in short pads do his stuff. I admit he looks good, and the dolls go for him because he is more than somewhat handsome. Then it comes up five or six fights later, and we are all in Spider's flat celebrating another victory.
Yes, sir, Jonas. You stick with me and you'll be able to tell that big fader Potapas to go crawl in a knot hole.
I will be heavyweight champion, yes?
Well, take it easy. We've got to build you up slow-like. I do not want to rush this.
The fans are beginning to ask for better competition for Jonas, Spider.
Let them ask. Jonas is my boy.
Sooner or later, you got to find out if he can take it.
The one that win over anybody I fight, yes?
Sure, you won all right, hands down.
Then I am good, no?
Oh, yeah, good.
Margie, what is eating you?
Nothing, Uncle Spider, nothing at all.
Maybe we better change the subject.
There is something wrong. What is the matter?
Nothing at all, Jonas.
Margie.
What?
Sometimes I think you do not like me, yes?
Sometimes you could be right, yes.
Look, let us do like Broadway says. Change the subject.
Sure, change the subject. But how long do you think you can string this out?
Meaning what?
You know what I mean, Uncle Spider.
What is all this talk?
Just that, Jonas, talk. Margie, drop it.
I won't. One set up after another for this big umbrella. You know the fans just go to see him because he's an ex-king.
What is this you are saying?
Nothing. Forget it, Jonas.
See if he can take it. See what happens when you match him with a real good heavy.
Look, I'm doing the matchmaking and managing. Nobody else, see?
Sure, I see. I see, all right.
Where are you going?
In the kitchen, where I belong.
And with that, Margie disappears into the kitchen. Now, I figured there is something wrong indeed. Like I say, Margie fades into the kitchen. I tell Jonas and Spider to wait a minute, and I go into the kitchen. And what I hear there is...
No.
All right if I come in, Margie?
No, leave me alone.
This is no time to be alone, doll.
I... Oh, Broadway.
Sure, I know.
You know what?
Lots of things. Beginning with the fact that you are more than a little in love with Jonas.
That plain, huh?
To me. But I see farther than the ends of a heavyweight.
I have to go and fall for a guy like that.
Well, there is no accounting for what makes people do things. However, there is nothing wrong with what you do. He is a nice-looking guy.
A big umbrella.
You do not know that for sure.
That's just it. I don't know anything for sure. Of all the guys for me to fall for, him... He never did a lick of work in his life. He gets run out of his own country instead of standing up for his rights.
I can say nothing about
that. Well, I can. And he's fought nobody but setups, Broadway. He's a meal ticket for Uncle Spider, and he hasn't got sense enough to see it.
Look at it this way, doll. He knows nothing about the fight game. He thinks he is a world beater.
What'll happen when he meets a real heavy?
Maybe he never will.
I gotta know, Broadway. I gotta know what's inside him. If I'm in love with a guy, I want to know if he can take care of me when things are tough. Or if he'll fold.
Yeah, I see your point. Who is it?
It is Jonas. I may come in, yes?
No.
Sure he can. Come on in, Jonas.
I may come in, yes?
Where is Spider?
He went out for something. I...
What do you want?
I
guess I will leave.
No, don't leave.
Okay.
Margie, why do you not like me? Is it that I do something to make you... What do you say? Sore at me?
No.
I like you very much. Yes, very much.
You do?
I remember nobody else I liked so much.
Well, that seems to be that.
It's not that simple, Broadway. Jonas, why did you leave your country?
Because Potapas made me leave.
Didn't you try to stand up to him?
To Potapas? But nobody does that.
You had a country, your people. You left them flat.
I could do nothing.
Why not?
Why? Because... I do not know.
Did anyone else stay to fight against him?
Oh, yes. There were many who stayed.
But you, a king, you left.
Potapas.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about you. What kind of a man are you?
Man? What kind? Broadway,
What does she mean?
Well, seems to me that is a pretty good question she asks. Got an answer, Jonas?
No, I do not have an answer. I do not think about it before, I guess.
Then you better start now.
Sometimes I wonder why I did not stay in my country. But I am a king.
Ex.
But do you not see? I am to rule. I am born for that. All my life, people tell me that. I have never, what you say, had to fight for anything.
I see. All right, Jonas, let me tell you something. The men you fought in the ring were hand-picked. I could have licked them. Do you get it? Understand?
Margie, shut up.
Spider, what is this she says?
Do not pay any attention to her.
But she says that
I make the matches. I do the managing.
Yes, you do. Jonas, ask him to get a real opponent for you. Ask him.
Jonas, you want money, don't you?
Yes.
The fans crowd in to see you fight because you're an ex-king. They will keep crowding in as long as you win. But once you lose, the money stops. Now figure it out.
Spider, take it easy.
Sure, but I do not take chances. Figure it out, Jonas. What can you do to make a living?
Why, I... nothing.
Uh-huh, nothing. A guy like you likes to live high. You cannot do it without scratch. Okay, either do what I say and keep on lying in your pockets, or cut loose and go on the breadline. What'll it be? Well, Jonas, is it riches or rags? Take your choice.
Margie.
Take your choice.
Spider, I will do what you say.
And another big umbrella folds up.
So it goes. Jonas fights three or four more guys that Spider picks like an ever-loving wife picks a Christmas necktie. Margie puts the frost to Jonas, but I know she is very much in love with him. And from what I can see, Jonas is also an easy mark for Cupid. Of course, I see Margie's point. Being tied up with a guy who has no more spine than a dish towel is no fun. Then it comes on one day, and I'm sitting in my hotel room when somebody knocks. Come in, come in.
Broadway, I'm glad I find you. I'm in bad trouble.
Trouble, Spider? You?
I cannot find Jonas.
What? He is not at his hotel?
I go there. The clerk tells me Jonas gets a telegram in the middle of the night and takes the wind, but fast.
Who is this telegram from?
I do not know.
Where is Margie?
She is out looking.
Oh, well, where do you look so far?
Every place.
It seems to me you do not look every place because Jonas is still missing.
Say, I just think of something.
Like what?
That telegram. Broadway. What if it is a telegram saying for him to go back to his country?
In which case, you are out one heavyweight.
No, he cannot do this to me.
Look, Spider, let us go back to his hotel.
I tell you, I was just there.
Okay, so Jonas does a fade in the middle of the night. Now, suppose he takes a cab to wherever he goes.
Huh?
Sure. There are not many hacks sitting around in front of his hotel that time of night. So, we find the jockey that drives Jonas to wherever he is going.
You are a Sherlock Holmes. Come on.
And that is what we do. It takes us 20 minutes to find the hacky, and he tells us that Jonas seems in a big hurry to get to a classy apartment house way out in Washington Heights. Spider has it no other way than we all go out there. I do not approve of this because it seems to me that Jonas is a big boy now. But I, Margie, and Spider find ourselves a half hour later standing outside an apartment door listening to something going on inside.
No, it is impossible, I tell you. Impossible.
You will do as I say. It is the only condition.
The only one?
Yes, Your Majesty.
That is Jonas in there, all right.
And who's the other man?
I will get you 10 that it is Poltavis.
What is he doing here? He is trying to rob me.
Uncle Spider, let's get out of here.
No, I'm not going to let them steal Jonas from me.
Let's go.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing?
I'm taking a peek through the keyhole.
What do you see?
There was a guy in there, a guy about 7 feet tall and just as big around.
What is happening?
Nothing. If that is Poltavis, he is wearing about 9 bushels of beard.
I do not care if he needs a shave or not. What is happening with Jonas?
He is just sitting there. Poltavis is looking at him. And there is a Judy in the room, too.
A girl? What does she look like, Broadway?
From what I can see, she is shading 40 and looks like Poltavis.
With a beard?
That is all she is missing. They are all just looking at each other. Now Jonas is going to stand up and...
Broadway, what is it?
I see enough. Poltavis gives Jonas a shove and pushes him back in the chair.
And Jonas? Broadway? Jonas?
He stays in the chair.
I think we'd better go.
No, Jonas has a contract with me, and I'm going in there.
You cannot.
But I am, and if the door is locked, I will break it in.
Hey, you, Margie. Spiders.
What is going on in here? Jonas, what is all this?
Who are you? What do you want here?
I want my boy, Jonas.
Your boy? Your Majesty, who are these people?
They are friends, Poltafus.
So? Get out of here. Get out! Or I will throw you out.
He looks plenty big enough to throw us out and there's something to spare.
Spider Margie, please go. There's nothing you can do here.
I guess not.
Now, wait. I want to know what the pitch is.
They want me to go back to my country. The people want me back.
Do you want to go?
I wish to do what my people want.
Then what is the argument?
But first, Poltafus wants me to marry his sister.
What? That Chromo?
You call my sister.
I get it. You marry her, Poltafus has got an in, even if you are king.
Yeah. You're crazy. You can't do it.
I have had enough of this stupidity. Now, get out. Get out.
No. No, they will stay.
What? What? You dare to contradict me?
I do not love your sister. I cannot marry her.
Why not, Jonas? Why not?
I love Margie.
Jonas.
Yes, I do. I will not marry that Chromo.
Jonas, you have insulted my sister.
Get away from my boy.
Keep out of it, Spider.
But
keep out of it.
Yes, keep out. Well, Jonas, you will apologize. And you will marry her.
No.
Jonas!
That will teach you to fall in love with a commoner.
You hear that? He calls Margie a commoner. I will cook him.
Stay out of it, Uncle Spider.
You will apologize, Jonas.
Please go. Margie, Spider, Broadway, please go.
Yes, it is all over.
Yeah, all over.
Margie, wait. I love you.
Sure.
I won't marry her. I won't.
I do not think he will get up this time.
Oh, he's killing my boy.
Hit back, Jonas. Hit back.
Hit back.
I will not marry her.
We will not argue about it.
Oh, Jonas, fight back. Fight back.
Lock the pocket, Jonas. Lock
it. Jonas, keep jabbing your left. He's a sucker for a left. Keep jabbing.
The old 1-2, Jonas. The old 1-2.
Poltafus is too big. Somebody call the cops.
No, let him go.
He is down again.
Somebody give me your gun.
Finished, Your Majesty?
No. Come on, Poltafus. Come on.
Hurry.
Well, who says the kid cannot take?
He takes enough to ruin a dozen heavies.
Oh, Jonas, that's enough. Don't.
Now you, get up, Poltafus. Come on, get up.
I will kill you.
Looks like curtains for Mr. Poltafus.
Now, get this. I will not marry your sister. You understand, Poltafus?
I understand, Your Majesty.
And furthermore, I will go back to our country, and you will take orders from me. And I will marry Margie, and she will be my queen. Understand? You wish the old one to again?
No, Your Majesty.
Margie.
What, Jonas?
You think you will like my country?
I'll love it. You big umbrella.
Umbrella? Broadway, what does she mean?
Nothing at all, Jonas. Nothing at all. Jonas goes back to his country with Margie as his wife. Spider goes with him because he will never let go of the good heavyweight. But that is not the end. The payoff comes sometime later, and I will tell you about it in a minute. Well, it is a long time later, almost a year, in fact, that I am sitting in Mindy's when I look up, and who is standing there but Spider McCoy? He sits down and says...
Well, Broadway, how are you?
Great, Spider, great. But you?
Fine.
It is almost a year since I see you. How are Jonas and Margie?
First rate. Happy and ever loving.
Well,
I suppose you come back here to stay, huh?
Oh, no, I'm just here for a week. I am importing heavyweights to Jonas's country.
You are doing what? How is the crop?
Not so good. I do not see a one who can beat Kid Poltafas.
Say that again?
Sure. I make Poltafas heavyweight champ of Jonas's country.
Well, well, well. So you manage a champ at last.
Uh-huh. Well, I just dropped in for a minute. I have got to meet my wife.
You... Spider, when does this happen?
Oh, when we get to Jonas's country, I marry Poltafas' sister.
That Chromo? Excuse me.
Oh, she is all right. She's very quiet and a fine cook.
But how does it happen you marry her?
Well, I see a great heavyweight prospect in Poltafas. But he will not sign a contract with me until I marry that his sister.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, The Big Umbrella.
The Damon Runyon Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 3rd, 1949, a syndicated recording. That same story would be repurposed for the television version of the Damon Runyon Theater in June of 1955 with Oscar-nominated actor James Gleason in the role of Spider McCoy. Not to be confused with Jackie, though he does have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for his motion picture work. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levillier. And now Will Rogers Jr. stars in Rogers of the Gazette in a CBS broadcast from January 6, 1954, called Intense Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers Jr.
Thank you. I'd like to see some official figures on it, but for a rough estimate, I'd say the people fall into two groups. Those who write a book and those who read it and swear they could write it better.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again transcribed another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr.
I'm Doc Clemens, a friend of Will's. Well, Will's got a point there. There are a lot of critics abroad in the world, and a surprising number of them call Elyria their home. Of course, it's a healthy sign to my way of thinking. Folks here have opinions on just about anything you'd care to discuss, and a few things you'd just as soon not. And a lot of it's critical, or leastwise arbitrary. Now, you take Philo Trimble, for example. Philo's a haberdasher by trade and a critic by nature. Meet him on the street and say, "Nice day, isn't it, Philo?" And you run the risk of hearing a dozen reasons why he doesn't think it's a nice day. I just nod to him now. Philo comes to mind because he and Will have been locking horns this past week. They're both on the Speaker's Committee for the Civic Forum series. Sarah Holbrook holds the balance of power on the committee. I guess they're all up at Sarah's now, having at it.
No, sir, Will, I don't agree with that position at all.
You don't agree with any position, Philo, but you never come up with a better suggestion. You're always just against.
Am not?
You are, too.
Now, gentlemen, gentlemen, I hoped we could have a discussion of our mutual problem. I'm afraid it's disintegrated into a clash of personalities.
I'm willing to discuss the problem, Sarah. I came here to discuss it. That was my first mistake.
Was not? Your first mistake was going out on your own hook and writing that Beasley Hill to include Elyria on his February lecture
tour. No, I didn't go out on my own hook, Philo, and you know it.
Don't know it at all.
Well, if you can read, and there's a question in my mind about that, it's all there in the secretary's report of the December meeting.
Gentlemen, please. Oh, personalities, personalities. And I distinctly remember saying when I invited the two of you here today, let's leave our personalities at home. Now, didn't I say that, Will?
Yes, you did, Sarah.
Philo?
Seems to me you did, Sarah, but...
But what?
Didn't agree with that position at all.
Oh, Philo, why must you be so difficult?
Sarah, personalities?
Mercy, goodness me.
Now, look, this isn't getting us anywhere. If you're both agreed, I'll just state the issues at hand for what it is, and then let's try and discuss it, and then reach a decision.
Well, I'm willing to do that.
I'm willing, too.
All right, good. Now,
up to a point, of course.
Yeah, all right. Well, now, you let me know when we reach that point. Now, at the December meeting of the Civic Forum series, by unanimous vote of the membership, I was instructed to write Beasley Hill and ask him to fill our February speaking date.
That's right, Will.
Well, you might put it that way, I guess. Of course, that was before I had any idea who Beasley Hill was.
You didn't know Beasley Hill was one of our foremost novelists?
Didn't know it then, don't know it now.
But you did vote to have him come speak to us.
Well, must have. Says in the minutes it was a unanimous vote.
Okay, so you voted for him. Now then, Mr. Hill has graciously accepted our invitation, and all of a sudden, Philo, you say we should cancel him out.
Now you're talking. That's something I agree with.
But why? What can you possibly have against him? You don't even know who he is.
Oh, yes, I do.
Philo, just a minute ago when Sarah asked if you knew who Beasley Hill was, you said you didn't know him.
No, I didn't. Sarah didn't say that, and I didn't say that.
Okay, what did you say?
Starting with Sarah and what she said. She said to me, you didn't know Beasley Hill was one of our foremost novelists? Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, I believe those were my exact words.
Agreed, Will?
I guess so.
All righty. Now, my reply to Sarah was, didn't know it then, don't know it now. That's just for the record, you might say.
Okay, it's for the record. What does it mean?
Well, sir, when his name came up at the meeting, it's true, I didn't know he was a novelist at all, let alone a foremost one, like Sarah says. Now I know he is one, anyways. I know he writes books, because I read one.
Which one?
Book called The Medium Was Rare.
Wasn't it delightful?
Nope. Can't say it was. Fact is, begging your pardon, Sarah, I thought it stunk.
Philo Trimble.
Mind you, I said begging your pardon.
No, Philo, is that why you want to cancel Mr. Hill's speaking engagement? Because you read one of his books and didn't like it?
Thought it stunk. Begging Sarah's pardon again.
Oh.
Okay, you thought it, what you said. Now, it might interest you to know that he's written about a dozen other books.
Wouldn't care to read anymore, having read the one.
Well, how on earth did you ever bring him around?
Nobody brought him around. Sarah and I, we just outvoted him.
What do you think Philo will do about it now?
Nothing. He's had his fun. Got me all riled up, got Sarah flushed in the face and breathy. Philo's just contrary. Likes nothing better than to go against the trend.
I feel sort of sorry for Beasley Hill. Philo will probably give him fits during the question and answer period after his lecture.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about that till February. Sure got to hand it to Sarah, though. Usually, you know, she and Philo see eye to eye on everything.
Well, they've been engaged almost 20 years. And in case you don't know it, Philo is insanely jealous in his own fashion.
Well, I'm sure Philo realizes that Sarah just admires me in a literary sort of way.
Just the same, I'd avoid buying any ties from him for a while. He might fit you with a tight one.
Come to think of it, he did sulk a little after we voted him down.
Mm-hmm. You see? If Sarah's smart, she'll play this to the hilt.
Play what to the hilt?
Philo's little sulk. You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if she started showering you with affection.
Now you're being silly.
20 years is a long time to wait. A girl can be excused for resorting to almost anything.
Even me?
Even you.
Well, now, flattering as it all sounds, if I know anything, I know that Sarah Holbrook has no personal interest in me. Furthermore, I'll bet I don't even see her again until the next Civic Forum meeting. And going one step further, I'll be a monkey's uncle if I think that...
Oh, hello there.
Why, Sarah, of all the people in the world.
I'll be darned.
Well, I'll bet you're surprised to see me so soon again, Will. Will?
Will, speak to Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I would sit down if anyone asked me to.
Oh yes, sure. Sit down here.
Thank you. I do hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Certainly not.
Maggie, I wonder if you'd mind...
Not at all, Sarah. I've got a couple of errands I can run anyway.
Oh, that's a dear. Well, this is rather personal.
Not another word now, Sarah. I understand completely. Will...
Not another word, Maggie.
I just wondered if you had any color preference in tight ties. Bye.
About my little personal matter with you, Will... Well, I know it's impulsive of me, but, well, I'm going to take advantage of you.
I beg your pardon, Sarah.
Oh, I know it happens to you all the time. But I said to myself this afternoon after you left, it's now or never, Sarah, I said.
Now, look, you're either saying too much or not enough.
Now, I want you to be perfectly frank, Will, perfectly frank. I want you to tell me your exact impression, precisely how you feel about it. And no matter what your answer is, I want you to know now that it won't disturb our friendship in the slightest.
Sarah, what are you talking about?
Why, Susan's writing, of course. You remember Susan Wills.
I do?
My little niece, my brother's child. Of course you do.
Didn't even know you had a niece.
Well, I do, and a very talented youngster she is, too. At least that's what those of us in the family think.
Uh-huh.
I've taken the liberty of bringing some of her writings along with me. I hope you'll be good enough to read them and tell me exactly what you think of them. Here we are.
Well, now, I tell you, Sarah, I usually steer clear of this sort of thing. I'm no critic, you know. My opinion wouldn't mean much one way or another.
Oh, now you're just being modest, Will. My goodness, you know about words and writing and all that?
Well, I'm a pretty fair judge of a news story, Sarah, or a feature or an editorial. Now, that's my field. But other writing, novels, plays, short stories, well, like I said, my opinion don't mean much.
Well, it would mean a great deal to me, Will, and to Susan, of course. Oh, to tell you the truth, I don't have any idea whether Susan has a flair for writing or not. But I do so want your opinion. Just so we'll have, an outsider's viewpoint on it, that's all.
But I might not like it, Sarah. Whatever it is, it just might not appeal to me. I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings about it.
Oh, don't you give that a thought. After all, I've asked for your frank opinion, and I expect you to be brutally frank. Even if, well, as Philo says, it... Thanks.
Okay, Sarah. As long as we understand each other, I'll read them, and I'll tell you exactly what I think.
Oh, marvelous, marvelous. Oh, and I want you to take your time about it, Will. No hurry. I know you're a busy man.
Oh, thanks. I do have quite a bit of work to do in the paper the next couple of days.
Yes, I understand. I'm just so grateful that you'd read them as long as that.
Well, I tell you. I'll read them tonight, Sarah.
Well, I'll call you first thing in the morning.
Illyria Weekly Gazette. Oh, hello, Sarah. No, he's still at the meeting over at the hotel. I told you before he was in earlier this morning. Then he went to this meeting and he hasn't been back since. I'll tell him, Sarah, yes, just as soon as he comes in. Yes, I promise. Bye, Sarah.
Well, I'll give her this. She's a persistent cuss. That's the third call since I've been here.
Doc, six calls in the last hour. You know, I thought it was funny at first, but I'm beginning to think it's serious.
Oh, I just can't think it is somehow, Maggie. I'm sure Sarah's fond of Will, but... I can't get it through my head that she's romantically interested in him.
She keeps saying to tell him she hasn't slept a wink all night, waiting for his answer. No, really.
No. That's still pretty flimsy evidence.
Well, I wish it were the only evidence I have.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I could kick myself. Sometimes I don't know the difference between a nose for news and being just plain nosy. Only... darn it, he shouldn't leave things out in plain sight on his desk and expect me not to read them.
All right now, Maggie, just keep body and soul together. I'm sure Will doesn't have any secrets from you.
Well, neither does Sarah Holbrook. Now, Doc, listen to this. Tell me, signpost, heavens above, how many miles from here to love?
What is that?
It's from a series of love poems by S. Holbrook.
Sarah?
Who else?
Great. Day in the morning. You think she wrote that to Will?
Well, if she'd written it to Philo, wouldn't she have to say how many years from here to love?
Hi, Maggie. Doc?
How are you, son?
Well, it's a pretty professional tone, Doc. But I'm fine, thanks.
Sarah Holbrook has called six times since you left.
I'll amend that, Doc. I don't feel so fine after all. Well, guess I better call her. Get it over with.
She hasn't slept all night, waiting for your answer.
Yeah, kept me awake, too. On second thought, maybe I better get over to Sarah's and tell her.
Yes, it might be kinder that way, son.
Yeah, I guess it would. Well.
She sure didn't give you much time, did she?
Oh, they never do. Just hope she takes it okay. Well, see you two later.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, Doc?
I was just wondering, Maggie, would you care to join me in a mild sedative?
read them. Read them all. And I'm going to take you at your word and tell
Which
you just...
Which one did you like best?
Well, now, that's hard to say. What I was going to say, being brutally frank, and I know you want me to
but
be...
But you must have liked one better than the others. For instance, I'm very partial to Nine for Tragedy.
I don't remember that, but the title, anyway.
Oh, I think it stood out from the rest rather prominently. It's the one that goes, I am bleak and tormented like a wine that's fermented.
Oh, yeah, that one. Well,
honestly,
now...
Honestly, now, Will, don't you think that one stands out?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's any worse than any of the rest of them, but
you
I...
didn't like Susan's poems?
I didn't like them. I'm sorry, but I just didn't.
Oh. Well, what didn't you like about them? What's wrong with them?
Well, I don't exactly know, Sarah. I'd have to admit that I'm not much on poetry to begin with.
Oh, you don't care for poetry.
You remember that I told you yesterday that there might be some hurt feeling. I told you that all I could give you was my opinion. And you told me to be brutally frank, that you wanted an outsider's opinion. Isn't that right?
Well, I don't see anything right about it. Who are you to set yourself up as a judge of writing? Just what makes you think you know talent when you see
it? Now, hold it, Sarah. Now, I'm the first to admit that I'm no real judge. I told you yesterday that I didn't know about things like this.
Well, all the more reason why you shouldn't dash a youngster's dreams of a literary career. Just what gives you the right, Will? Just what gives you the right?
Oh, now, Sarah, don't cry. Golly, I didn't mean to make you cry.
Oh, I'm not crying. For me. When I told her you'd promised to tell me what you thought of them today, she said she and her mother had been meaning to visit me.
Uh-oh.
Will, they're driving up from the city this afternoon. You've got to talk to her, Will. You've just got to tell her yourself. I'm sorry, Will, but... It is funny. It's awfully funny.
Well, I wish you'd point out the humor in it to me.
Well, it's just that Doc and I were a tiny bit mistaken. We had it all figured out that Sarah was suddenly mad for you and was penning love couplets to you.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, now, just think about it a minute. It's really funny. Think about Philo as a jealous lover for a while. You'll get hysterical.
I'm already hysterical. Do you know what I've got to do? I've got to tell some little kid about Jill's age that she's got no talent. Now, call up Doc and have a good laugh over that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really am.
I swear I don't know how I get into these things. And I'm not a bit sure how I'm going to get out of this one.
Well, if she's Jill's age, just talk to her like she was your daughter.
If she were my daughter, I'd paddle her good. Break all her pinpoints for writing stuff like that.
When are you going to see her?
Anytime now, I guess. They're coming by for me here. Sarah's going to try and soften the blow by taking us out to dinner. Figured it'd be better to shatter Susan's young dreams after a good meal.
Poor Will. You do get mixed up in the darndest thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Susan Holbrook.
Well, I'll be
Hold it, Will. It's my turn. I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Don't mind about Aunt Sarah. She developed one of her frightful headaches, and Mother just insisted on staying with her.
No, I don't mind. Lately, I don't seem to mind about anything.
I'm glad you don't mind.
Miss Holbrook, ordinarily I don't ask this question, but if it isn't a state secret, how old are you?
Well, most women would mind that question, but I don't. I don't care who knows I'm 18.
Hmm. You know, you ought to have a talk with your Aunt Sarah. She gave me the impression you were quite a bit younger.
I'm a lot more interested in your impression.
I guess you're 18, all right.
I'd like to call you Will, and I wish you'd call me Susan.
All right.
I'm terribly unconventional, Will. Are you?
Well, I don't think so.
I am. I love to walk in the rain. Whenever it rains, I walk in it. And imagine I'm in London or someplace where it rains all the time. In the slums, probably, and everything's bleak and tormented.
Nine for Tragedy?
Well, that's where I got the idea for it, Walking in the Rain.
Where'd you get the title?
Oh, I just counted the words in the poem. 9 words. And the theme suggested the tragedy to me.
Do you have any idea what it means to be bleak or tormented?
beautiful. I can imagine it. In the rain.
Hmm. Do you enjoy writing, Susan?
Oh, I'm driven to it. I just can't help myself. Everything's so terribly stark and all, I just have to write about it.
What's so terribly stark?
Well, everything is... Isn't it?
No, I don't think so. You know something, Susan? I don't think you enjoy writing at all.
You don't?
No, I really don't. Now, listen, I just run a country newspaper, and I could be wrong, you understand. But you see, most writers write about what they know about. And you don't know very much about bleak and tormented and stark and all those dark words. Now, do you really?
I just barely know what they mean.
Doesn't it get kind of cold walking around in the rain?
Oh, does it? I just nearly freeze sometimes.
Well, why do you suppose you do that? I mean, do you like it?
Oh, I don't know. Of course, it is terribly stark and all that.
And terribly wet and cold.
Oh, I know. Mother and Daddy just nearly have fits about it. But then when I write something down and sort of leave it where they can find it, I think it impresses them, if you know what I mean.
I think I know.
You don't think I'm a very good poetry writer, do you, Will?
I don't even think you want to be, Susan.
Well, now that's funny. I never really thought about it that way. Wanting to, I mean. Everyone's always just said I had a flair for writing. I don't know. Do you think I should destroy myself?
Oh, I don't believe it would, Susan. Pretty girl like you ought to get yourself a boyfriend, if you haven't already got one.
Oh, golly, how teenager can you get?
Nothing wrong with a boyfriend. Maybe someday you might want to get married and quit walking in the rain.
Gee, get married. Maybe if I give up my career, well, maybe then I'll have time to think about marriage.
She's just a dramatic kid, Doc. I don't think anybody's talked sense to her before.
Yeah, maybe not. But Maggie tells me you've been talking sense to Susan right regular lately.
Yeah, a little too regularly to suit me. She's kind of dogging my trail a little. Pops in and out of the office, calls night and day. Found her waiting for me at home a couple of times.
Will, you know Philo is nervous as a cat, don't you?
Yeah, what's his problem?
I think he figures it's you. And I think Sarah's content to let him figure just that way.
Oh, honestly. Between you and Maggie, I'm thinking of starting a Tips to Romancers column in the Gazette and turning it over to you two. Are you coming in with me?
No, I got a call to make. Philo's got a touch of heartburn.
Yeah, well, tell him to bite the bullet for me. So long, Doc.
Bye, Will.
What's the score this time, Maggie?
She's called four times, been here twice.
Think I ought to have a little talk with her?
Seems to me all you've done the last week is have little talks with her.
Well, she'll be going home at the end of the week. I guess we can stick it out till then.
Would you like some free advice?
No.
Good, I ought to charge for this anyway. Because I don't know what you have in mind, but I know darn well what's on Susan's mind. And you better do something about it.
What are you talking about?
Little Miss Bleak and Tormented has turned in her writing tools. She's all domestic now. How do you cook this? How long do you bake a cake? Do I know how to iron men's shirts?
Do you?
Well, I excel at ironing men's shirts, but that's not the point. Susan Holbrook told me only today that she's decided a woman's place is in the home. And what I want to know from you is whose home?
Don't ask me. Ask Susan.
Will, from her own lips, I heard it. Will's opened my eyes to marriage as a career.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Oh, now, Maggie. Are you going to start that again? First, Sarah's crazy about me. Now, Susan is. I'll be a monkey's uncle
Don't
if any...
Don't say that again.
Oh, I see you two are having another of your little jokes.
Nothing but fun and games around here, sir.
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to put you to work, Ben. A little social item.
That's Maggie's department, Sarah.
Oh, now don't be too sure, Will. After all, you're responsible for the whole thing.
Uh-huh. How's that?
I'm all ears, sir.
Well, I'm having a little tea on Saturday. Well, let's just say it's for Susan and her mother. I guess that's as good a way to put it as any.
It is. If you're having the tea for Susan and her mother.
Now, Maggie, you'll make me say things I shouldn't say. Things that should wait till Saturday. Of course, I'm just bursting to tell you, but it is a surprise.
Or have you already guessed?
To tell you the truth, Sarah, I'm afraid to guess. Why don't you guess, Will? You're responsible for the whole thing.
Well, I sure don't see how I could be responsible for you having tea for Susan and her mother.
Well, you just are, that's all. Why, if it hadn't been for you, there'd be no announcement to make.
Announcement?
Why, Will. Oh, my. I came right out and said it, didn't I? And I did so want to save it till Saturday. Susan wanted it to be a surprise.
Susan did?
No, you know how romantic youngsters are.
He sure does.
Oh, my.
Well, the cat's out of the bag now. But don't put it in the story, Maggie. Just say I'm having a tea and let it go at that. After all, I've waited 20 years.
Huh?
Well, I can wait till Saturday to tell my friends.
You mean you and Philo?
Of course I mean me and Philo.
Oh, Sarah, I could kiss you. In fact, I'm going to kiss you.
Good for you, Will. Maybe it'll start a trend.
Oh, my goodness, Will.
Hi, Philo. You don't mind my kissing the bride-to-be, do you? Don't agree with that position at all.
Just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Parley Bear as Doc Clemens and Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button.
Rogers of the Gazette, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from January 6th, 1954. And that closes this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.